Back in 1961, a think tank called the Brookings Institute was commissioned to produce a report for NASA, an organization that was then only 3 years old. The report looked at the implication of humanity's first travels into space and the possible discovery of alien life. It came to the conclusion that such a discovery would cause an upheaval, and it seemed to suggest that even if NASA did discover life among the stars, it should be kept a secret. Today, many researchers say that the Brookings report is outdated and that our culture would greet the discovery of alien life with excitement instead of panic. Next, Laura Markowitz talks to Dr. Chris Impey, an astronomer who thinks that just such a discovery could be right around the corner.
Someone once wrote that the mother of astronomy must have been laziness. Those early stargazers spent a lot of time lying around, gazing up at the night sky, and wondering what the universe was made of and how many other worlds there might be out there. But no one would accuse astronomy professor Chris Impey of being lazy. While managing the University of Arizona's academic programs in astronomy, he wrote 160 research papers on quasars and ultra-faint galaxies. He came out with 7 books, managed dozens of NASA grants, and last year he even made time to teach Tibetan monks in India. As a cosmologist, he studies the size and shape of the universe. But these days, he's become an enthusiast for a new field called astrobiology. It's the study of extraterrestrial life in the universe. The only problem is we haven't found any yet.
I think the next wave of news in the next 5, 10, 15 years is going to include the real deal. It's going to include evidence of some form that there's biology elsewhere. And once you go from one example of biology to two, then the game is on, and you have to imagine that we're not alone.
Some say astrobiology is a subject with no subject matter.
I think astrobiology is just a subject waiting for this crescendo of information, because we've now found 350 planets around other stars. 15 years ago, just a handful, so that's all new. We're close to getting Mars sample return, which may answer that question, whether Mars was ever alive. With big telescopes, including some that we have in Arizona, we're on the point of being able to inspect the atmospheres of distant planets to see if there was oxygen or ozone, and that might be our actual first evidence of life beyond Earth. The basis for the belief that life will be there is the cosmic chemistry, the fact that carbon is everywhere. It's made in distant galaxies. It's ejected by stars in every galaxy in the universe. Do you have the raw materials? You have habitable places, and some of them will be temperate and liquid water. Water is the second most abundant molecule in the universe. So you've got all the materials, you've got energy, you've got time, you've got places for life to develop. And it would be extraordinary if on all those habitable worlds, nothing happened.
Is there any kind of consensus among astronomers that life will be found?
If you're an astrobiologist, you're more of an optimist. I mean, I study distant galaxies, and I know they exist, and there's billions of them, so I have no shortage of raw material. I think, although there's only one sample of life known at the moment, most scientists think within 10 years we'll have answered the question, is there life elsewhere?
The Copernican Revolution changed man's idea of his place in the universe. If we find life outside of Earth, can we handle it?
Some people think that if we found microbial life, which many astronomers think is likely to be common in the universe, it wouldn't change much at all because most people are not threatened by microbes. Intelligent life, that's a different matter, because then our religion is thrown into a different light. Our sense of being the top dogs on this planet or in the universe, you know, the extension of the Copernican idea, the pre-Copernican idea was, of course, not that we were the top animals on the earth, but we were the top animals of creation. Well, the creation of the universe includes probably trillions of habitable planets, and it sounds a little unlikely we'd be the top dogs on trillions of habitable planets. So most scientists think that intelligent life will change everything. There's a sort of magic number in considering time and space, which is about 3,000 years. If the average sentient civilization, assuming they exist, persists more than 3,000 years, then on average they're close enough and live long enough that you can exchange real-time messages. So one civilization can communicate with another. But if they live less long than that, then on average, the people you might want to talk to have already disappeared by the time they get your message. And you may have already disappeared by the time their message comes to you. So if there are million-year-old civilizations with space technology and they've been doing that for millions of years, then they'll all be just a big club, which is was sort of the Star Trek idea, I guess. Right. You join the galaxy club. And some arguments have been made that since we don't see evidence for visitations or advanced civilizations, it's the Fermi question, as it's called. Where are they?
Enrico Fermi.
Right. Enrico Fermi, famous physicist. He was aware of all the statistical arguments that I talked about, meaning that there are likely to be many, many habitable planets, and on some fraction of them, you get intelligent civilizations. And for those advanced civilizations, traveling around the galaxy is not that big of a deal. It is for us, but we're young. He just says, well, where are they? And then people have taken his question and used it as an argument for why we're alone. You know, the fact that you do not see visitations, scientists, of course, discount the evidence of UFOs being at face value aliens visiting us. If there is no evidence of aliens traveling the galaxy and visiting us and displaying their existence somehow with technology or signals, then maybe they don't exist. But that's sort of a logically flawed argument, because it turns out there's many reasons they might exist and you wouldn't see them or know about them. So it's a little dangerous to say, well, we didn't see them, so they don't exist.
When you look up in the sky, you're looking at the past.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of years more, and light is coming from the past. Do you ever have this feeling of regret that you only get your little century?
The human lifespan is just pathetically small. But this is a pretty good century to live in, I think, because if it's the century, for example, where we figure out if there's life in the universe, that's a huge discovery. I mean, science looking back from the future, that will be seen to be one of the great discoveries we ever made. And I think it really will happen in my lifetime.
For Arizona Spotlight, this is Laura Markowitz.